Now, back to the Eric Stewart Show.
Welcome back. I have Art Lane telling us his story from World War II. Art, continue.
While we were advancing towards Germany every day, the enemy was retreating and using their artillery and mortars to delay us. They were really good at this. And one evening, as we were resting in foxholes, trying to keep warm, this was the middle of winter, and it was cold, they hit us with their heavy artillery, heavy bomb explosions every couple of seconds. The ground was shaking. The noise was deafening. And believe it or not, it became apparent and certain to me that this was the end. It was just a matter of time before one of these big rounds was going to land right in my lap. It was an awful moment. So what did this boxer, this champion boxer do, this tough platoon leader, what did he do? I bowed my head, and for the first time in my life, I spoke to God. And I said, God, if you get me out of this in one piece, I'll serve you for the rest of my life. About an hour later at sunrise, the artillery barrage stopped, and we soon resumed the attack, and I promptly forgot my promise to God. But he didn't. He choreographed my life and the people that needed to be involved so that 10 years later, I asked Jesus to come into my life. As a civilian, 3 years after I returned to Washington, I had come home with my bride, a French war bride, with whom I will celebrate our 70th anniversary in April. I decided to work in my dad's retail liquor store while thinking about what I should do long term. And it soon became apparent that working with my dad was a bum idea. He was too tough on the people I thought he should befriend, which were the wholesalers. So I decided to explore the possibility of starting my own business. I went to see a very successful owner of a wholesale liquor distributor to get his advice. He had been a loyal fan of mine back when I was boxing. He later told me that he thought I would be the next Jewish heavyweight champ. The first one was Max Baer, and if my memory's working well, he was uncrowned by the great Joe Louis in Madison Square Garden when I was still a kid before the war. He became a good friend, and when I saw him in 49, I told him I wanted to leave my father's business, start my own business, and they needed a loan to get it launched. He asked me my plans, did I have a location, and how much money I needed. He said, let's go downtown and see the president of my bank. And so 20 minutes after I met the president, he okayed a loan of $16,000. To make a long story short, the business prospered. I paid the loan off in 1 year, and then I sold the business a year later for reasons I won't go into, and strangely decided to go back to France. This was all part of God's plan to call me to faith and to fulfill the promise I made in the foxhole. And here's how he arranged it. My mother-in-law met us when we arrived at Le Havre, and she traveled with us to Paris and then on to Marseille, which was about 800 miles. We arrived in Marseille, and it was cold. So we decided to go south to Italy, where it was warm. We asked Minos to join us, and she said we needed to go to Geneva first so she could pick up her passport, which she had left there. This turned out to be untrue. She wanted to arrange a meeting with Dr. Alexander, who was president of the Bible School of Geneva, the only person she knew who was a spirit-filled Christian and could speak English. So we went to Geneva, and I met him, and we spoke for 15 minutes. Now get this. He asked me just three simple questions while we were together. What do you think about Jesus? And then he asked me, what do you think about Christianity? And then he asked me, what do you think about the Bible? And my answers were, I don't think about Christ. I don't think about Christianity. I'm a Jew. Jews don't believe what Christians believe. As for the Bible, I said it's a book of fairy tales. And Alexander said, isn't it strange? You reject my Lord, the religion he founded, and the Bible in which my faith is based, on which my faith is based. And your rejection is based on hearsay. Now, the key word in all this was hearsay. Back in law school, my best subject was moot court and evidence. And it was permanently engraved in my brain that hearsay evidence is not acceptable in a court of law. And here he was accusing me of rejecting all of these things that he believed in, based on hearsay. So what did I do? I was prompted by the Spirit of God to say, I'm going to read the Bible so that I can reject it based on my own understanding, not hearsay. I bought a Bible, Old and New Testament. Every morning early, while the family was still asleep, I read the scriptures for the first time. When I had read the whole Bible, Old and New Testaments, I was prompted again to read the scriptures a second time. And when I read Isaiah 53, I was completely flabbergasted to read in the Old Testament about the one whose birth, life, ministry, birth, death, and resurrection I had just read about in the New Testament. I didn't know what to do about this. I read and reread Isaiah 53, and I just couldn't understand why the rabbis and my fellow Jews rejected Jesus as Messiah for all these years, when it was so clear to me. I wanted to talk to someone who knew more about the Bible than I did, but I didn't know a rabbi or a priest or a minister or any Bible believer, so I just kept on reading for 3 years, and finally, God sent Billy Graham to Washington in 1954, and I went to hear him and seek an opportunity to speak to him. Billy preached about the prodigal son and then gave an altar call. There were thousands of people in the auditorium, and it just didn't seem right for me to obey, but Billy kept right on asking until the Holy Spirit lifted me out of my chair and propelled me down the aisle. Billy led the group, and I prayed to receive Jesus as my Lord. A few months later, I was invited by a friend at the church to go to lunch at a table fellowship meeting, and I met a man by the name of Dick Halverson. Dick had just recently come to Washington from California, where he was the associate pastor of the Hollywood Press Church, and he started this group, and a week later, I was invited to join them. There were 10 of us at the table, and over the years, I got to know Dick real well. I spent 30-plus years under his ministry, and finally he was called to become the pastor of Fourth Presbyterian Church in Bethesda, and then later he was called to become the chaplain of the United States Senate, and he had to resign everything and go to take care of his job on the Hill. And I was asked to become the leader of that group. When I came to the Lord, I was still in the liquor business. I was a wholesale rep for a liquor distributor in Washington. And in the car, between calls on the retail liquor dealers, I would pray. And my prayer was simple. Lord, I know I need to get out of this business, but what do I do? I don't know how to do anything else except kill the enemy and sell booze. Finally, after months of prayer, the Lord answered me. As I was parked at a red light praying, he said to me, go in and talk to him. I opened my eyes and looked around, and I didn't see anybody. But there was a big sign right across the street that said, Roy Kramer, Moving and Storage. That's the only thing that I caught my eye. I said, now that can't be for me. And the Lord said to me again, go in and talk to him. So I parked and went in to see Roy. I told him why I was there, that I was praying, and God said, go in and talk to him. He said, what were you praying about? And I said, I was praying about a change in vocation. He says, I know why you came in here. I have a letter for you. I said, you've got a letter for me? He said, yeah, came in yesterday. I answered an ad in the Post by a financial services firm downtown Washington. And it was such an attractive offer that I thought I'd answer it, not for myself. I got a very good business here. But in case somebody I knew was looking to make a change. And that's you, Art. Call him up. I hesitated, and he says, call him up. It's for you. So I did. I spoke to the guy. It turned out he was the recruiter for a life insurance company, the New England Mutual, and they offered me a contract. I became a member of the Million Dollar Roundtable in my first year. I became the leading producer in my third year. I became the leading producer for another company for The Nation a few years later when I enlarged my thinking to include charitable use of life insurance. So I had a very successful career. Things went up very well. And I retired 4 or 5 years ago for good, but I slowly retired leading up to that. And I moved to Rehoboth in 2012 and hung it up for good. So all I can say is, God is good. He loves all men and women and kids. And when you hear his voice, when he prompts you, listen and obey. Your life is about to be transformed.
Many thanks to you, Art, for sharing your story here on The Eric Stewart Show. Every Sunday, we bring you the truth in real estate, in life. We'll take a break and be right back with more.